Welcome to Mastering Life's Adventures, an educational podcast about tapping into your true self, the soul, your soul, the substance of your life, to discover what life's ups and downs are really about, and how to have a greater sense of purpose, peace, joy, and fulfillment. I am Dr. Judith Holder, your host, coach, psychologist, fellow seeker who enjoys diving into the connections between spirituality, psychology, wellness, and your everyday life's adventures. All preparing and polishing you like the facets of a magnificent diamond to be your best self. If you're craving more from your life, you are in the right place. Come, let's journey together and transforming what you know into who you really are. Mastering Life's Adventures begins now. Hi, I'm back with Braca. And this has been a series that we've been doing on helping parents to know little things and great things they can do to help their children to shine, to help their souls to shine, to help them to be empowered and to understand, even in the midst of some storms that they may go through, where is that silver and gold lining that they can be able to garner from those experiences to continue to help their soul to evolve and grow. And so a part of this series, we're talking about the fourth part in this topic of helping children and adults to develop happier habits. So we've done part one, we've done part two, we've done part three, and I welcome you to go and look at those. I think they're wonderful and giving you a lot of information. And so in part four, we're really focused around helping children and adults develop happier habits. Welcome back, Braca. And why don't you share a little bit about yourself before we move forward with talking about this area?
Thank you so much. I've written 42 books for young children. They're picture books. And they're all, what they all have in common is helping children's souls to shine. Now, some could be in very basic ways, like physical ways. I'm going to talk today also about one of my books is called Let's Appreciate Everyone. And this book is about being more sensitive to children with disabilities. Now, children can get in a habit of not interacting with other children who are more neurodiverse. They may have disabilities, but no one's ever explained to them how to interact more effectively. And usually children with disabilities are the loneliest children. They don't get invited to play dates or parties as much as other children. So if we can, I consider this kind of a habit. They're just children that are not so neurodiverse are just not in the habit of interacting. Once they get into the habit, then it becomes much easier. So how can we do this? I explain to children basic guidelines, and then they feel more comfortable because now they understand how they can more effectively interact with children who may have disabilities and are more neurodiverse than them. And also I want to explain about other types of habits that children can have and what's the most joyful way to overcome habits.
I think what you want to the getting back to neurodiversity, I think children are always curious. And so right. And in their process of being curious, they stare.
Yes.
You know? And they also, they will go over and, you know, pick up something or to play with something. And sometimes we as parents will say, no, you can't do that. As opposed to having that child ask, can I be able to?
Yes, you know, beautiful.
Can you explain to me what's going on? You know, and helping the parent can help the child to know how to do that in some ways. If they're verbal, sometimes they're, you know, 2 years old, that's a different story, or a four-year-old. They're getting more verbal at that point in time. But the neurodiversity is for children who may be blind or children who may have some type of physical handicap, which some people say is abilities. It's not a handicap, it's a different type of an ability that they may have, or they may have difficulties or in their abilities to hear. And those who are not neurodiverse can be able to hear. So it can come in different flavors in different ways. But the one thing is, we are all from God.
Beautiful.
From God.
Exactly. That's one of the things this book talks about, Let's Appreciate Everyone. Everybody has some strength. Find it. Look for that. Again, search out that spark of divinity in every single person. And we tend to focus on the weaknesses. We tend to focus on our own weaknesses. So it's a question of refocusing, and being proactive about it can be really helpful. Like you were explaining, children are naturally curious. So when they see a child with a visible disability, they automatically stare. Now the book explains there's another five-letter word that also begins with S, like stare. And it's easy to remember because it's another five-letter word that also begins with S, like stare. When you feel like staring at somebody because they look different, add your smile. SMILE. Another five-letter word. Add a smile to your stare. And what have you created? A bridge. The smile creates a bridge between you and the other child. That means you're making a connection. You are building a bridge. You're building a connection from your heart to their heart. This is so important to teach children. You can stare because you're curious, and that's wonderful, but add your smile. That warms the heart of the child who has a disability. That's what they need so much more of in their life. And it's just really, really important. I based this book on workshops that a colleague was giving in schools, teaching children how to be more inclusive and interactive. So there's also like a little workshop in here where the children feel what it's like to be different so that they can empathize more with how a child feels if they're left out or something like that. And it also explains that how to interact specifically. Let's say a child, you were saying, let's say a child is deaf. So you could write a note to the child, or if you don't yet know how to write, you could draw a picture. There's just different ways to interact. And also you can actually learn sign language. So it talks about when somebody's blind, if you come up to them, make sure you say hi, you introduce yourself, and when you're leaving, you say, I'm going to go now. Just teaches you these basic things that probably nobody has ever explained. Once you have these tools, then you feel much more comfortable interacting. Oh, and if someone is in a wheelchair, if a child's in a wheelchair, sit down next to them so you're on the same level. Really, really important. And if a child has an invisible disability, many children have invisible disabilities, like dyslexia, a child might be embarrassed to read. Be aware of these things. It's very helpful. And then you won't be making fun of the child if they can't read, you know, your classmate or a friend, or they try to cover it up. Usually people try to cover up their disabilities. If you can be more welcoming and warm about it, it's so helpful. The other thing is sometimes children have social disabilities. They don't interact well. They don't know how to play in games. So it explains that you should go over if you see somebody sitting by themselves, ask them, would they like to join? You could help them out. And they might say no, and that's fine. But they're still happy that you asked them. Even if they don't show it, it's still a good thing to invite a child who's sitting on the side. Just basic things, guidelines that are helping children to know how to basic guidelines so children can get in the habit of interacting more fluidly with children that are different than them.
Yeah, and one of the things I think you're making mention of too indirectly is by being willing to do those types of activities that you're talking about or engage in those particular types of behaviors of kindness and consideration,
It
Yes. builds not only the smile, like you're talking, that bridge, but also builds the caring factor.
Yes.
Caring and building sensitivity, which are all
Yes.
things of the soul. The soul wants to be cared for, just as that child who has a particular issue going on for them may want to feel that way, but
Yes.
they all want to feel some sense that we are accepted, appreciated, and valued.
Beautiful, beautifully put. Again, you're reminding me of things. It's so important. When you appreciate somebody, again, you are bringing out their soul. You are brightening your own soul and you're brightening the other person's soul. As you become more sensitive, you can almost see it happening. You can almost see the light coming out of you as you become a more caring and sensitive person, and you just see the person light up when you reach out to them. It's so beautiful.
In a world in which we live, it is people can become invisible, and our children can become invisible. By doing these activities that you're talking about, helps the child to be able to say, I'm not going to be like, I don't see this person, I don't see this other child, but instead,
Right.
through my smile and through my kind gestures, I acknowledge you, I see you, and you're
Yeah.
okay. And we all are working on being okay with whatever visible or invisible disabilities that we may have. And sometimes, for example, you said very well, there's social ineptness that people may have, and that's creating pain for them. But even in that child who may have that social difficulties, it's like, how do other children treat that child? How does that child welcome that child? Help the child to know, yes, we can do that. I just need for you to say it this way to help me, to kind of move things forward. That's what parents' role is. The parent is trying to help to guide that child in knowing how to act and how to say certain things, especially if they're young age, so that they become more comfortable, as you said, later in their development to be able to handle situations that come up. And it's very natural and fluid for them, because they have this kindness and this gratitude that they know all come from God and all would go back to God.
Beautiful. Exactly. The more you practice kindness, the easier it becomes. Exactly. And the earlier you start in life, it becomes a habit in your life, being a kind person. So true. Sensitivity becomes a habit. You were saying, I just forgot, but anyway, it was a great point you made. Yeah.
As you're thinking about that, one of the things that we sometimes have to work with our children to do, because even at certain ages, before the age of 12, they can have bad habits. And one of the things that your book, does focus on, and your kind of general focus is that we can help children to kind of get out of those bad habits or get out of their proclivity to be negative. And I want you to share more about that and what parents can be able to do.
Exactly. And I just remembered the other thing I wanted to say, thank you, is that when you're just being stared at, you feel like you're aware of your physical, something's wrong with you. When the person adds their smile, then you feel more like a soul again. It changes just from that one difference, you know? The staring gets you to focus on the physical, and adding the smile, then the refocus goes on the spirit of the person. So it's amazing. That makes the transformation. Yes.
I think it's nice that you're circling back around to that, because it does such a fundamental thing that's so easy to be able to do. And it
Yes.
also changes the frequency, the vibration. How a stare has a certain vibration to it. A smile with a stare has a different, higher vibration, because
Beautiful. Ah.
smile, you also have your eyes crinkle too. And so
Yes.
brings out that curiosity or that curiousness, and allows the other child or even adult to feel as if, wow, you see me. Wow.
Beautiful. You see me for who I fully am, who I really am. Beautiful. Oh my gosh, you're saying such great things. I got to write that. You see me. You see
And
the
there
real me.
you see the real
Yes.
me, not just the physical, but also the
Yes.
aspects, the dimensions of the soul,
Ah.
the substance of the life of that person, and the beauty that they exist, that exists within them, because God is beauty. God is all
Beautiful.
of these Christic qualities and virtues that we need to be able to see in other individuals. And as you said in part three, that we need to walk away from just seeing the negative things, but we also need to see the positiveness that exists within that particular person or child in which we're interacting with.
Beautiful. When you see the real you, when you see the real of the other person, it helps them to see it in themselves too, which they may not be seeing. It's so amazing. It's what through your focus you can help bring out the divine nature of another person. It's and you can see it just from that, just from the smile. Incredible. I'm going to bring up what you said. This book is called Let's Break Bad Habits. Oh, I and it, the subtitle is Simple and Successful Steps for Children, and then in parentheses, and adults, because it applies to everybody. But again, if we start to learn these steps young, as young people, then we have these tools the rest of our lives. So, one example, just one habit, which I talked about in another session, but she got more. I got so few. It isn't fair. I want more too. Esty would say that a lot about whatever her big sister got. Esty had a bad habit. To break it seemed so tough. Esty was always wanting other people's stuff. One day she whispered to God, "Please, can you help me? I want to be happy with what I have. Help me act differently." Then, when Esty started to feel jealous, she tried something new, something that she found really hard to do. She took a new look at what she had, and this time, before she ate, she thanked her sister for sharing her chips. That helped her to feel great. When she was busy enjoying what she had, she didn't whine, "I got so few." When she felt grateful for what she had, she didn't cry for other stuff too. The first crack is the hardest, but it's the most important one. We all need help to get cracking until the habit's done. Bad habits need more than one crack, and Esty could not know when she would need God to help her crack it again and again. Whenever she wanted to complain that she didn't get enough, she turned to God each time that it got tough. After a while, it wasn't so hard. But when her sister got a new sweater, Esty asked God for help a lot until she felt better and better. Bad habits seem very strong. Esty thought she'd never make it, but each small crack feels like, hooray! And you need a bunch to break it. Now, being jealous of others is not something she feels a lot, because Esty's really happy with all the great stuff she's already got. And then we go on to a boy who's he gets lazy when he has to do chores around the house. He's in the habit of not helping out. And then he learns how to break that habit. And then there's another boy who has a habit of getting into fights. He gets angry over very little things, and he learns how to break that habit. And it goes into that you could really break any habit. It's amazing. But you use the same type of tools and you practice them to get better and better.
It's as if she is learning at a very young age how to get help from her inner source, her higher source, her God
Yes.
source, her I am presence, the Atman, Yahweh, whatever you want to call that higher source, because then the call compels the answer. So since we ask for the help, then God can be able to say, oh, we can help you. The Creator says, we can help you. Your I am presence says, we can help you then. But if you don't ask for help, you're saying to us, you think you can do it all by yourself. And so, okay, we'll sit on the sidelines until you ask for help. And so we'll watch the game, like a football game, a soccer game, or whatever type of baseball game going on. Ask for help, then we can step in to help to guide you and to help you to have a greater sense of fulfillment inside yourself and not so focused externally to get that thing or that happiness or that whatever it may be. I love that.
Beautiful. And that's what the 12 steps are about, too, that people learn when they go to Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, that's also, it's about breaking bad habits, any type of anonymous organization. The 12 have 12 steps, recognizing you can't do it yourself. Yourself, yes, you can do it yourself. Yourself, if you recognize that yourself, your real self, is part of connected to the infinite source. Yes, you can do it with that help. You need that to use the infinite powers of your soul that are that connect to the infinite source. But just doing it from your own flesh, we can't overcome these things on our own. It's not just a body's habit. It's we need the power of the soul, the power of God to help us to overcome what pulls us down, what gets us to forget how awesome we are, what limits us. Basically, it's about overcoming these limitations. We've become stuck in these habits, and it's breaking through so that that spiritual, wonderful energy can flow again. That's really what happens when we break a habit.
That's wonderful. Nicely said. And when you were saying some of that, it brought to the analogy like a stream and it's dammed up because
Yes,
it's a
yes.
habit, bad habit, damming things
Yes.
up. So the stream or the light or the energy
Yes.
that God wants to give to us can't flow until
Yes.
we get clear of that area that has been blocked so
Yes.
that it can flow again. And so that God
Yes.
in our connection and our awareness, that was a nice way of putting what you were saying there. And but the other thought I had as you were talking is that sometimes we don't even realize we're developing a bad habit until that
Yeah.
habit appears. It's like, oh, now we're doing this all the time. It's like
Yes.
before it was frozen infrequent. And that's where parents come in because they can see early when a habit is forming itself and that you can say, do we really want to do that way? Do you really want to have the temper tantrum that starts off to being moody and grumpy and ever and everything and then moves into a temper tantrum? It's like as a parent, you can say, that's not a habit that I want my child to develop. And therefore, I need to find ways in which to help that child to work through their stress and their challenges that's going on. And that's where connecting to God can be very powerful. Thoughts about that?
Beautiful. Right. We sometimes reward the tantrums. We don't mean to, but we're not using the right tools. And then it gets worse and worse, and it just keeps increasing. The bad habit of having a tantrum, rather not giving it the energy, not giving it a ton of attention, responding to giving into the tantrum, as opposed to that's not an effective way to get my attention. That's not an effective way to get what you need right now. So we when parents can learn the tools also to get out, they can get in the habit of responding to tantrums. How do you break that habit, you know? So there's habits going on all over. Like habits are done because for immediate comfort. Why do people overeat or alcohol, drugs, it brings a temporary pleasure. And if a person feels they don't have enough pleasure in their life, they want to just keep adding that pleasure in, that temporary comfort. it gives them also a sense of control when they feel out of control in life and they don't trust life. So it gives them, they feel, I can do this immediate thing. I could just keep overeating and then I'll have this immediate pleasure. The problem is that they get stuck there. This great rabbi I used to teach, it was such a shocking thing to me. What's the opposite of pleasure? And most think people think it's pain, but no, pain could be a part of pleasure. It can be, it's part of childbirth, it's part of climbing the mountain, it's part of the challenges in life. He's explained that the opposite of pleasure is actual, it's comfort. If you go for comfort, then you give up on pleasure. You don't go for what really gives you that lasting pleasure in life, which is gratitude, which is, it's that flow, it's that gratitude, it's that connecting with the source, it's the recognition of God, the recognition of your soul. That's real pleasure. Comfort is eating the bag of potato chips. You're not, you're getting an immediate comfort if you're feeling lonely or bored and you eat the bag, but you're afterwards, you're not left with a feeling of gratitude about life. You're not left with a feeling of gratitude about yourself. You just experience temporary comfort while you were eating the big bag of potato chips, and then you're left feeling miserable. How do you really fill yourself up with lasting gratitude? And it comes from transcending your own limitations, breaking your bad habits, and also what we haven't talked about yet, how do you develop new good habits?
Maybe that's a great segue into it, but there's one comment I want to make that you were saying, which was, I think it was great in terms of pleasure and what we try to do with pleasure to get comfort and think that's going to be the thing that helps us. But an actuary is temporary, as you were saying. And also it's false gold. It's not the real gold. And that's where you have consistently said, and I think it's been nice in the different parts we've been doing, is the power of gratitude. Then the power of appreciation, or the power of knowing that we're not going to always do it right. And therefore, life gives us another opportunity and another opportunity and another opportunity to learn and to grow. And that's how we need to look at it for our children. They're not going to always do it right the first time. They actually may do it lousy several times. But parents, instead of getting frustrated, they realize this is another opportunity for my child to grow, you know, in certain principles or certain anchoring in the awareness that the God that exists within them, the soul that exists within them, are going through certain experiences. Excuse me, are going through certain experiences, and that how can I help my child not get frustrated, not get annoyed, not get angry, but help them and help them to move in the right direction that's going to be a spirit spark to their soul igniting to greater sense of strength, internally strength that goes on.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's it. That's it. You, as the parent, keep focusing on that soul in your child. They may be behaving terribly, horribly, embarrassing, having a tantrum in the store right there, you know? You calmly keep refocusing on that soul. You know that there's infinite goodness inside that child who's suffering right now. They're acting out from a place of lacking. They're focusing on their lacking right now. You can help them get to a place of gratitude again. Of course, through your own self practicing gratitude and also focusing with gratitude on what you do appreciate about your child, catching them when they're doing the good things. It builds up their goodness and gets them to focus on their own goodness as well.
And it ties into what you said about when you read the little piece of the story from the book that you had, that you're giving the child to understand that this temper tantrum I'm having, I know it's not, it's a bad habit. You know? And so they're starting to learn, understand what that means and how do you call upon God and make a prayer for help to help that child. But also, how does parents understand in an earlier stage before it gets to the temper tantrum? How do you help them to see, okay, when you start engaging in grumpiness behavior, or you start engaging in saying no a lot, you know you're on the path, that child's on the path to maybe move towards a temper tantrum. So how do you help that child in the initial stages to help them to calm themselves down, to call and pray upon the Lord for guidance and help, to breathe, in and breathe out to this and direct their attention to something that is more helpful or supportive
Exactly.
of them.
Exactly. What you said is something so valuable. You said get them to recognize it's a bad habit. It's not them. It's just a bad habit that they've acquired. They are infinite goodness. They are a divine spark. They have just acquired this bad habit temporarily. That can go away. So that's really helpful, differentiating. They are not the bad habit. They are something different than the bad habit. So that is extremely helpful for the child and the parent to see. And another thing that you said, the only way to stop a thought is to replace it with another thought. If you're focused on this thought, and many times that works with children, distraction works amazingly with very young children, but it even works with older children. I remember doing this. Somebody was explaining, two children are squabbling about something, and all of a sudden, like, what? Like, you just like distract them with this craziness, and like, all of a sudden, everyone's laughing, and it just, you can diffuse a situation in all kinds of zany and whimsical ways, and it gets everybody flowing, gets you unstuck from a situation.
Yeah, and this is a nice segue into what you wanted to talk about as well, was the good habits and how to anchor that within our children. So I think a little bit about that would be helpful to
Yes,
parents.
sure. I want to say that there was a study done, right? I think I explained at a Christian university where they said that it takes, I love this, 400 repetitions to form new synapses in the brain to create new habits. 400 repetitions. Oh my goodness. But if you do it joyfully, 10 to 20 repetitions, and you've got the new habit in sync. You have formed the new synapses because we know we have neuroplasticity. We can form new connections in our brain if you do it joyfully. Now, that's why in kindergarten, we teach children songs. We do teach them rhymes, and but the same thing with adults. We can learn things so much more quickly too when we do it in a joyful way. And as we've learned from all these part ones, two, three, four, the way to bring joy into your life the quickest is through gratitude. That is really the way. So you teach new good habits in a grateful way, they get absorbed so readily. Whether it's brushing your teeth every night, teaching it in a joyful way, not in a boring way, children will want to do it. That's one of my books, Let's Stay Healthy. Picture those little germs. They're invisible too, the germs. Teach them about that, and you can get them out, and get them out of your mouth. Make it really fun. You could play music. But this goes through almost all the habits. Just about every habit we can inculcate in children in a joyful way. And it's just more pleasant for everybody. Music is a big help in that, in developing habits. It's one of the habits I use with my children for cleaning up the house, turning on the music, and we all get busy at once till it's all cleaned up. We just keep going and dancing and cleaning together. That was like a really positive memory when my children were little that we used to do.
And the beautiful thing about it, most children want to help. So doing it with music in a fun way and with an adult or parent to be able to do it so they can honor their parent. Wow, that's a beautiful thing to be able to do. And also develops fond memories. Wonderful children.
There's another habit. This is an awesome habit. I have no idea how I came up with this. I don't know where I got it from. But I did this with my very young children as early as when they could talk. I would say maybe a year and a half old. So when you hand them anything, you don't let go of it until they say thank you. You're standing there, they're holding it, you're still holding it, and you don't release it. And you're laughing, and they're like, why isn't she letting go of this? You're not being real serious about it. You're, I'm just smiling, I'm not letting her. Thank you. Oh, okay, that's it. Well, it's still going on now with my grandchildren have all learned this. My children do it with their children, and it just works so beautifully to instill being thankful, not just for huge birthday presents, for being handed a pen, being handed a piece of paper. So then in school, when the teacher hands them a paper, they say, thank you. They are known for being very grateful people for the smallest things in life, and it just affects you in every way to do
That's
that.
wonderful. I love that because it allows the child to get quickly aware of and develop that positive habit of saying thank you. And the thing I
Right.
would add to that is that when the child says thank you, then you say, or the parent says, you're welcome.
Yes.
The welcoming in is the Christ, this
Yeah.
the Christ into the relationship that you have. Every time they say thank you, say you're welcome. So the child realizes we are welcoming the Christ into our interactions with each other.
We and it creates that bond with God of being given to. It helps us to recognize that we are always being given to. Because again, children can take everything for granted that their parents give them. We are helping them not to take everything for granted when we make a point of reminding them to be grateful for each thing. That's what we're teaching them. And that, when we create the bond with the parent in a joyful way, not in an angry kind of way, in a joyful way, then we're also strengthening that bond with God, recognizing all every single gift from the breaths that we get every moment. You know, we obviously we cannot live being grateful for every breath. We can't. But whenever we can be aware of it's wonderful.
That's so precious to be able to help parents to be able to see how their little acts and consistent acts helps that child to only not only develop the aspect of gratitude, but also the awareness that as a parent, you are the child, you are the God to that child as a parent. And so that welcoming is saying, we know, when I say that, I'm really welcoming him, the God, the Christ, the higher nature into this interaction that we're having with each other to close the circuit. So that the child is realizing, okay, it's really the God source and my mom and my dad, and that is, well, I'm welcoming, and who's welcoming me for doing that act. So
Exactly.
it's a beautiful thing. I mean, to find these little creative ways that we can be able to pull in God's awareness, God's intent, God's desire, our soul awakening, our soul growth and progress with our interactions with our children.
Yes, in a joyful way, exactly. That gets really deep in as early as possible.
Is there anything else you want to say before we wind down our time?
I want to mention that it's when we feel fulfilled in other areas of our life, then we no longer need to fill the void with self-destructive behavior. As we fill that void, so the tantrums get less, our own tantrums get less, as we feel more fulfilled in life. The bad habits drift away, addictions, all these things go away as we fill up. And the secret to filling up is gratitude. So that's how to bring fulfillment into your life. It's how to break bad habits. It's, as you were saying before, parents and other adults are the role models for children of how to form a relationship with God. So the more positivity we can bring in, the more positive a relationship they will have with God for the rest of their lives. And to create that basis, the foundation early in life, that makes it really strong and sturdy. You're giving them the roots so they can grow tall, make branches, and then create fruit. And it just goes on and on. That's my blessing to anybody listening to develop those roots, the foundation, make it strong through joy, through love, through the warmth of the sun, the water, the nutrients, all the nourishment that is needed for a child to grow and fully blossom in this world.
Which then allows your soul to fully blossom too, by passing the tests, initiations, and learning from the experiences, and knowing that all experiences are allowing them to be able to advance in their soul progress, to allow them to kind of reunite back with that spirit spark that exists within them, that exists within everyone. But also you, as I said about that vessel being kind of a spirit spark, that you're putting more spirit sparks in and more and more and more. And I think that's in part two, part three, you're putting more and more in. It allows you to be lighter and being a
Yes.
light being then,
Yes.
which is ultimately what we're trying to do as in terms of being our best self. You know, each and every day we're helping our children to be better and better in understanding who they are, where their source is, and how they can come back to that centeredness in that source, which is the Christ, which is the God self, the creator, the I am presence, whatever we want to call it. So I thank you, Baraka, so much for your wisdom, your 42 books that you do have that help parents to be able to raise spiritually gifted children. And I'm wondering if there's anything you want to say about your website or how to reach you if they would want to try to reach you.
Thank you. Yeah. My website is www.getsbookshop.com, and it's run by my children. So you'll kind of meet my children too when you go to my website, and you can download a free chart, a copy of the Pleasure Ladder to learn the steps of building gratitude into your life. And I just want to thank you so much, Dr. Holder. You are such a light in this world. And I'm so grateful and honored to be connected to you. Thank you so very deeply.
You're most welcome. I think nothing ever happens by chance. So we were meant to connect to be able to do the series. So I have been very delighted to be able to have the wisdom and the experiences and the reaching out to children and their parents to help them to be able to be living a life that is on purpose, that is anchored in spirituality, and helping them to know how to navigate this world that we exist in. So I'm most appreciative of that. And maybe we can find some other things to come back on to have some more conversations around. But this has been delightful. Seekers, I hope you will go back and listen to the other parts of this series that we've been doing, part one, part two, part three, and this has been part four. And as I said, we may have a different other parts to this, but right now, there's something for you to munch on and to think about and see how you want to integrate it into your lives and your children's lives as well. Thank you and bye for now. Thank you for joining me for this episode on Mastering Life's Adventures, being your best self through soul evolution. If you have enjoyed what you've heard today, I would be delighted if you would share this episode with others, leave a thumbs up, and subscribe to my Mastering Life's Adventures podcast. Look forward to your joining the next episode. Please leave any comments or suggestions you might have below. Bye for now.